Now on the line, I have Dr. Daniel Clear, Managing Director of MyClinic.ie. Good morning, Dr. Clear.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm in great form. And yourself?
Very good, thanks.
You have just launched a new service. Would you mind telling us all about it?
So our new service effectively allows people, travellers abroad, to get their travel vaccinations in their local pharmacy. So the new service we've launched allows people to consult with a GP, an experienced Irish registered GP online, and following on from that, their prescription is issued directly to their pharmacy, and that's where they can attend to have their vaccinations given. So it's really designed to be the most convenient and cost-effective way for people to get the right travel advice and to get the right protection before they travel as well.
It has really become, it's becoming more common for Irish people to travel further afield and to areas where different, different bugs and different viruses are lying. And I remember years ago with my older brothers going off to different places and having to get vaccines. Think of even on the continent, there's things like rabies and things like that. And if you're going to be going out near wild animals, you need to get those sort of things sorted first.
Oh, yeah.
And it used to be an absolute pain to actually find where you could get that done. But this seems like a great service. Maybe you just walk us through how you actually do it.
So the service is designed to be really as simple as and straightforward as it can possibly be. So people can come along to myclinic.ie and sign up for free. After that, they can complete a travel health consultation. And that consultation takes the form of a questionnaire that is reviewed by one of our GPs. The GP will then have a brief kind of telephone call with the patient just to run through any potentially outstanding issues, give some general travel health advice, give an opportunity to the person to ask any questions, and then they can decide collectively on what vaccinations are appropriate for the trip. After that, then, the GP issues the prescription, and that will be sent usually directly to your chosen pharmacy, allowing you to attend there within a day or two to have your vaccinations given. So previously, as you said, you know, getting vaccinated before going on holiday was quite a rigmarole and involved trying to book into a GP or a travel health clinic, often with delays and the added expense that's associated with that. But what we wanted to do was to really try and remove as many of the barriers as possible that exist to prevent people getting the right advice and right protection before they travel. Because we know that is one of the most important things that people consider when thinking about their own health, are things like cost and convenience as well.
And tell me this, I know this is going off the subject probably a little, but where are people starting to go now that you really need to get vaccinated?
Well, Irish people are travelling more than ever before, so the latest statistics show us. And not only that, but more age groups of Irish people are travelling further afield as well. So when we think about the world, it's now a much more accessible place globally. But added to that, infectious diseases or communicable diseases are on the rise everywhere. So to that end, Ireland actually has one of the highest rates of what we call imported malaria. So the amount of malaria that Irish people bring back from abroad, it's one of the highest rates in Europe. So there is a real need for Irish people to be aware of these risks before travelling.
And is a lot of this, particularly malaria, does that come down to, well, our lack of kind of mosquitoes per se in this country? I know we do have some, but we don't have a huge amount. And also to the you know, we call it the whiteness or the pinkness of Irish people, that we seem like tasty morsels to
I can't speak for the mosquitoes, but I know certainly that when it comes to global warming, the spread of mosquitoes will become a bigger problem, actually, for people in general. The reason we don't get malaria here within Ireland, it's not endemic, is because the mosquitoes that carry it don't thrive in Ireland. But mosquitoes carry a range of other infections as well, like dengue fever and the Zika virus, which you may have heard of in the news, causing fetal abnormalities in pregnant women. It would have been quite a big news story over in the States, particularly in South America over the last number of years. So there's a range of mosquito-borne illnesses, as we say. And the most important aspect in preventing those illnesses is avoiding being bitten by mosquitoes. So it's okay taking anti-malaria medication, but that won't protect you against other illnesses that mosquitoes can carry.
And tell me this, when we talk about these little bugs that bite and so forth, one that is starting to become, I think anyway, a bit of an epidemic here, is Lyme disease, getting it from the ticks. Is there a vaccine you can get that can prevent you getting Lyme disease?
Well, there is a vaccination against what is called tick-borne encephalitis. Now, that is different to Lyme disease. So tick-borne encephalitis is quite a severe brain infection that results from being bitten by a tick that carries the particular bug. So when we talk about ticks, we also talk about a range of illnesses, not just Lyme disease. But no, there isn't a vaccination against Lyme disease per se at the moment. In terms of people concerned about tick bites on their travels, we would often recommend for people traveling only to areas that are specifically affected by things like that. So that's the thing with travel vaccinations. There is no golden rule set list of vaccinations you must have for a particular region. It always depends on a kind of a risk-benefit type analysis of how long you're going to be in a particular country for, the kind of activities you'll be doing, and potentially the kind of access you might have to medical care, which could influence your decision around maybe taking additional precautions or additional preventative steps for fear of not being able to access a doctor, let's say, were something to go wrong.
You know, I'm going to mention it again. The continent, rabies is out there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Irish people head over to the continent, and I believe particularly France, in the interior of France. Mm-hmm. Should people who are going to be going on, shall we say, outdoor activities in places like France, should they be getting rabies vaccinations?
Well, that's a good question. Often, you know, when traveling to other kind of, you know, Western European countries, the need for vaccinations is generally very low. And a part of that is because there is such good access to medical care. So you wouldn't spend hours necessarily trying to access, you know, your nearest health clinic when you're in France, as opposed to, let's say, you're in Cambodia or somewhere in Southeast Asia. So that is a factor in consideration. The other thing to think about is what the level of risk or level of exposure could be. So if somebody, let's say, is going to be working actively with animals, you know, like bats or dogs or, you know, monkeys, whatever could potentially transmit rabies, someone's working extensively with animals like that, the recommendation would be a lot higher than, let's say, someone who might just be doing a day trip to a wildlife park. So it all comes down to really what the person themselves feels comfortable with, and also the advice of the doctor in terms of determining that risk versus benefit decision. And that's the same with any medication that any doctor would ever recommend.
Yeah, no, I was thinking of people who, and we just say one thing, and I believe it's quite a big thing in France, is this going cave, we can call it cave diving, or going down into caves and that, where you would get the likes of bats and things like that. I take it people should think about what they're doing.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. So it's all about the level of risk, and it's all about the level of risk that people themselves are happy to tolerate. So it can often be a very individual decision for the person.
And not to be alarmist, but should people who are going on different, even package holidays to countries, so we say like the likes of Egypt and places like that, where they may be going to Sharm el Sheikh or any of these places, are there any things that they should be thinking about?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, fundamentally, it's always of the utmost importance to make sure you're normal vaccinations are up to date. So that means your kind of childhood vaccinations, your measles, mumps and rubella vaccines. There are outbreaks of measles all across the world at the moment, and the disease is on the rise. So really making sure that you have been vaccinated and that those ones are up to date. Also, there are vaccinations that we get as routine, which can require boosters as you go on. So, for example, with tetanus, that requires a booster generally every 10 years as an adult, and that's something that people will often not have had before travelling. So that's something to consider. The other common ones that travellers to most destinations would look at would be coverage against hepatitis A, which is often a waterborne form of a liver infection that can be quite common in, let's say, non-westernised countries, and also protection against typhoid fever, as that's something that people often require boosters of every few years just to keep their immunity levels up. So they'd be the most common ones that people would take routinely, let's say. They would be the hepatitis A, typhoid, and a tetanus booster would probably be the most common package people would get as routine.
And I take it, you know, we're talking about people going abroad, but even people who are staying at home and doing different activities, because tetanus is one that rings a bell with me, because I'm a butcher by trade. And I remember when I was actively in butchering maybe 20, 30 years ago, you know, getting different cuts and maybe having to get it stitched up. You were always got a booster. Drop the trousers, bend over and get the jab. I take it people should be thinking about those things when they're doing different activities, outdoor activities. Even in this country, they should be making sure that they have their tetanus vaccinations up to date.
Absolutely. I suppose the good thing here is, you know, you're never too far from a hospital. You can have a tetanus booster given if God forbid, something does go wrong. But the preference is always to have these things kind of kept up to date. It kind of really reduces the risk of anything bad going wrong in the event of an accident. And tetanus is so important to cover, you know, everything from cuts to bites to everything else. It is probably the most common vaccine we do prescribe for people, actually.
And I take it, and I was just thinking of one of... you know, which is fairly much eradicated in this country, would be things like polio. Mm-hmm. But in other parts of the world, it's still there. It's still on the go. And they take it, particularly younger people, should be thinking about getting vaccinated against that.
Yeah, so that would form part of the standard childhood vaccinations in Ireland. But that's why it's so important to make sure that they have been given. But again, polio, while we don't see it in Ireland, you know, as you say, it is present in, you know, in Asia and Africa and other places as well. So it's very important to ensure protection against these things.
And is there anywhere you can go to get checked to see, you know, can they do a blood test? Is there some sort of a test to see what you're immune to, or you have protection against?
With some of the vaccinations, it's important to do a blood test to check your level. So for things like hepatitis B, because the vaccination actually requires up to 3 separate injections at different time points, that you actually require a blood test to make sure you're immune, you know, with something like hepatitis B. With a lot more of the common vaccinations, you don't need a blood test. Your immunity is assumed to kick in within a few days of getting your injection.
Dr. Clear, it's been great talking to you. And if our listeners want to find out a bit more about this new service, they just go to myclinic.ie and all this information is there?
Yeah, they can scroll down, click into the Travel Health Department, and they will see all the information they need, and they can start the ordering process from there.
And have you any other advice for travellers, what they should be thinking about to look after their health?
I would always just say, you know, try and think of these things as far in advance as possible. Vaccinations generally need to be given at least 2 weeks, with up to 8 weeks before travelling. So that's why it's just really important to try and arrange these things as early as possible to give yourself the best chance of protection.
Dr. Clear, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thanks very much for taking the time. All the best.
You too.